To all, for those of you who have been in the church for a number of years, hopefully you kind of know where I'm going to go today. I'm going to break from the pattern of preaching these different sermons on Old Testament men, and we're going to reflect on the last year. That's what I tend to do, and I don't know why it's special to me. I hope it's helpful to you, but I think it's important to reflect on things, to remember the kindness of God in our lives. So I want us today to look at four very brief statements that David makes in the Psalms. David is going to speak to us as God ministered to him, and we're going to let this be truth for us. It's going to create an outline for us. So turn to Psalm 1. I'm just going to hit these very quickly, and then we'll come back to them. Psalm 1 is the contrast between the man of God and the men of the world. And at the end of the chapter 1, or Psalm 1, look at verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. All right, move quickly. Psalm 119. These are great statements of David. He knew it personally, and every Christian should know these things in their own life. 119, 168. Look at the last part of 168. For all my ways are before thee. For all my ways are before thee. A few Psalms over, 139. Another great statement of David. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. We'll stop there. He knows his down-sitting and his uprising. And then Psalm 142, verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. You see a theme there? You see something there? The knowing of God. God knows our ways. He knows everything about us. Everything that we're in. Everything that's ahead. Everything that He has planned for us. He's with us. This is the last Sunday in 2013. It's hard to believe that another year closes, isn't it? It just flies by. And I want to ask you, have you stopped? You brothers, you sisters, you couples, you families, have you stopped yet to reflect back on this past year? You should. This is something we should do. Because it's profitable for you in reflecting over the kindness and the hand of God in your life. How many of you are familiar with these calendars that get put together? Families that put, you know, you can do these calendar things today where you put family pictures and events and trips and all. This is the heart cry one, and I just had it, so I wanted to bring it as a reference point. But you're familiar with these, where you can put pictures on pages, and all of a sudden you have a personal or customized calendar that you can give to others or you as a family can have and look back on. They are very special keepsakes. I've put one or two together myself as I think back. What do they capture? When you think about these family calendars, the events and people and places and stages of life, right? They take you back. They make you think. They make us reflect. And so they can have a deep impact on the way you look at things. But chiefly, they should cause you and I to reflect on God's gracious hand in your life. That's what David is saying to us in these different Psalms. God knows your ways. These calendars should be speaking of, God knows my ways. He knows the steps of my life. And so, with that as a reference point, I would like to speak today on this very topic. He knows our ways. And as one of your elders, today, I would like to touch on something in your life. Now, this is getting harder for me. We're getting more and more, and I'm having to go back and So what I might pick, you may go, I wonder why he picked that. But I do it just because I think that way. And so I write things down and I remember moments in your life. And as one of the elders, I can speak on behalf of the other brothers. We look into your lives and we have a calendar, if you will, of events that you go through. I call this a form of holy meddling, in that I'm looking into your life and my own life, and I'm trying to reflect over the hand of God and that He knows your ways. So we're going to look at these four statements of David's, or we're going to let those be a springboard to our reflections. Because the statements that David made applies to different categories or different aspects of our life. And I'd like this to kind of be our outline. Number one, there are big things in life, right? Big moments, big events, big things, big turning points. And then there are little things. There are little things. But sometimes little things, after a long time, lead to big things, right? So little things are never ultimately little, because if God's with us and God's in them, they add up to something bigger. But we see the big things, sometimes we miss the little things. Third, God guides me. We'll get to this when we go back to the psalm. God is leading, guiding, directing, ordering my steps, ordering my ways. He's guiding my life. That's what David is saying. And last or fourthly, God upholds me. He bears me. Dick probably remembers Charles' sermon out of Deuteronomy 1:31, as a father bears his son, so the Lord's carried us all the way. I was at work recently with somebody and I shared that picture for them, and they were just kind of overwhelmed at the picture that God bears us all the way. I remember Charles preaching on that years ago. So He upholds me, carries me. There are hard days, hard events. And so today I'm going to endeavor to do this. I'll try to do it swiftly. And like Marianne did a while ago in her sharing, I'm going to try to do that. And I may not get through it without tears as well, but I'm willing to pay that price because it's special to me to do this. But as a starting point, how do these kinds of topics apply to the world as a whole? What's going on in the global events that are in these kinds of categories, not necessarily directly in a redemptive way, but big events or smaller things that become big? Just stop for a minute and listen to me scan some of these that will be the calendar of 2013 in a global sense. First, there were big things or big names, significant people that impacted the world in their own way. And yet their lives came to an end. These people had far-reaching influence. And I'm not going to try to critique what that means. I'm just making us remember, these are names, these are people. And so these are deaths, or these are the end of eras of people. One was Margaret Thatcher. You remember who Margaret Thatcher was? She died in April. She was the first woman prime minister ever in Great Britain, and had a huge impact on the political and social and economic advancement of the day, or what was going on in Great Britain, and overlapping when President Ronald Reagan was the president here in the United States. Nelson Mandela died in December. South Africa's leader or leading man for years, just passed away recently, and there have been countless articles and stories upon or about his life on Nelson Mandela. How about Van Cliburn? Who knows who Van Cliburn is? The great pianist, right? He passed away. They have this incredible competition in Fort Worth every 4 years. I used to think it was every year. It's every 4 years. But he inspired men and women, young people, to play an instrument, often a piano, in that what he had accomplished some 50 years ago when he won an international competition. So Van Cliburn passed away. How about Pat Summerall? I mean, some of the guys know Pat Summerall. How many of the ladies know who Pat Summerall was? Okay. He was a broadcaster. He was a sports announcer. You know what I always appreciated about him? He brought a calm approach to a very silly game, in a sense. He brought calmness to just a game. Sometimes you would hear him at the end of a game and somebody wins and you're thinking, I don't think he's too caught up in this. There are bigger things in life. That's what I always appreciated about Pat Summerall. So those are names. They had influence. They influenced their generation. They influenced things around them. Those were events that occurred that ended, had, like I said, a ripple effect through society. There are little things. What appeared to be little at their time, that have become very big. Long-term impact. In 1963, the president came to Dallas for a very small political event. President John F. Kennedy. 50 years later, and note this past November was the event when he was assassinated in Dallas. Considered one of the top 5 or 10 events in the history of this country. So what began as a little event, first time his wife had been with him in something like that, he comes to this area and is assassinated, and it changed a whole series of events politically in our country and other events across the world. How about a simple presidential speech in 1863? Not a big deal. You could fit it on a half a piece of paper. You know what I'm talking about? Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Just hit the 150th anniversary of that. That was a small event in its day. Honestly, he was going to speak. He gave a very small speech. It's considered the greatest or the highest speech given in the history, politically speaking, in America. It was printed in the paper. Anybody read it? Anybody else read it? Did you see it by chance? I read it again, and it is powerful. It's unique. Once again, hits to the point of the power of language and speaking things that have impact, not just then, but carry on. Another small thing, it seemed like a small thing being floated around. It's been talked about for a while, but it's become a very big thing, and that is, why don't we try this thing of federal health care? How about that? Sounds like a cool idea, doesn't it? Big idea. And we've got Obamacare, the debacle that's going on that has people angry and upset at all levels. But it started as kind of small things, and it's become this out of control thing, system. But it was kind of a simple beginning point. How about the little things, political arguing, political debate, stubbornness, arrogance, men back and forth and going on. And it led to a governmental shutdown for whatever, how many days it was, 11 days or 12 days or whatever. And so small things, arguing and contention can lead to big things. And it can affect people's lives and their livelihood and the stability of things going on. So again, these are at the global level. Third category, how about some guiding events or guiding lives or people that are happening right now? Not people who've passed, but people right now. Those events that are happening that are going to cause a whole series of future things to happen. A new pope. Is anybody paying attention this past year? New pope was installed. New ideas. New variations from what they've said in the past. New views on moral issues. Maybe we consider this. You realize how many people be influenced when he says a few things? What saith the Scriptures? And yet, that person in that place in this generation will affect the way people think all over the world. As though we need new thoughts, new opinions. This is the truth. But that's an event or a guiding moment that will affect what's to come. A new prince. Anybody remember little George? Who knows who George is? Okay, Prince William and Kate's little baby. He was born in July. Probably the most photographed baby ever, maybe. But what lies ahead for him? Is he going to be king one day? Only God knows. But you think, here's this little child in the sovereignty of God, born. What lies ahead for him? Another event, historic event, but it started as a thing in its day and it still influences people today. 50 years ago, the Martin Luther King Let Freedom Ring March on Washington occurred. It's the 50th anniversary of that. And that still is talked about and still put forth is an influence on the way people think, obviously, equal rights and other big issues that still cause tension and anger and hardship in America. But it was an event in its day that continues, in a sense, to influence or live on to the way nations think or the way peoples think. And then fourthly, And you can just go on and on these. There were overwhelming events, tragedies, sorrows, things that show men their frailty, show us our frailty. Third world countries, big advanced countries, just didn't matter. Big events, events that shake people. And you can probably start reflecting back of things that have happened. The Philippines disaster is the most recent that we have all been exposed or seen glimpses into. We've not been there, but we're going to see more of that tonight. It wiped out entire villages. I mean, just wiped people out. It's hard to even comprehend. People are overwhelmed. How about Hurricane Sandy that hit back in April? You remember that, Hurricane Sandy? It devastated and impacted New York and New Jersey and other major cities, huge area up there on the northeast, Hurricane Sandy, coming through, showing men their frailty. Meaning us, we're frail. We know these things. An EF5 tornado in May that hit Moore, Oklahoma and killed 24, maybe perhaps even more. Last count I had was 24. A tornado, massive, just missed Oklahoma City, but went through Moore and created this destruction. It was mass destruction, overwhelming when you saw the photographs and the images from that. So these are overwhelming events. And what about just south of here, west, right? The explosion, early summer, the explosion that blew up in west and how it changed that town forever. I had somebody in my office that's over 100 miles away feel the ground or felt their home shake when those explosions happened. Over 100 miles away. So these are overwhelming events. The scale sometimes blows us away, blows peoples out there away, nations. And these are just snapshots. You can think of many others, many other hardships, many other things that came. But these are reflections of 2013 that have come and are now ending in the next 2 days. But that's global. What about us? What about you? What about me? What about my days? What do I look back on? In each of these statements by David, we see, beloved, we see one overarching truth. God's with me. Wherever I am, whatever's ahead, whatever today holds, God's with me. God will take care of you. God is with me. Whatever comes my way. And that's what David is saying. That's what the Word of God says, not just in these Psalms, but from beginning to end. He is with us. And that means He is ruling and guiding us in everything. He knows our thoughts from afar off. He knows our uprising, our down-sitting. He knows what we're struggling with. When we're overwhelmed, He comes. He knows our ways. There is no place that He's not with us. And that's the truth. That's what I want you to take away. That's what 2013 has been for us, for all of us. In different days, in different challenges, in different hurts, in different joys. So let me meddle for just a little bit. There were big things, major directions in your lives, big moments in your life, things that shifted everything that you are, where you're going, what's ahead. And perhaps you felt it right when it was happening. David said at the end of Psalm 1, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." If you look at that in context, it's this overarching, the way of the righteous, their whole of their life, the big events, everything of where they're going. God's with them. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, there's two contrasts. The way of His children and the way of the man of the world. The big days or big events, the big moments in our life are all ordered of God. He knows where we're going. He knows what's ahead. And when He says He knows, that means He cares. That means He's part of it. He's not just looking into it like He's an observer. He's planning and ordering and guiding and helping. Big events. Tom Allison. "I'm not ready to die." Gripped. "I'm not ready to die." He wasn't ready to die. Anybody in this room today that's not in Jesus Christ, you are not ready to die. Okay? You're not. He was not ready to die. But God came with truth, the gospel, the good news, the glorious good news of Jesus Christ, a Savior who was born, Christ the Lord, who came. And so God in His mercy brought that very truth to Tom Allison. He can die now because he lives. He that hath the Son hath life. Michael Tolley, sitting right here next to him, like evangelists in the book Pilgrim's Progress, you're there, you're his neighbor. And here's a man, what must I do? And you, like evangelists, have to show him the way. Here, listen, behold, listen to this. Such words to give him and help him. Beloved, we have to have words ready to give people. Michael was there. Michael didn't see it coming. You didn't plan that. Nobody planned that. God had it. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He had this man ready to help this man. That's the kindness of God. Another big event still just blows me away. Kevin and Sherry Willingham moving here last January. Just amazing to me. I know we don't get to be with them like we want to, and they would love to be here. They would love to be anchored right here. But God brought them back. They're closer. They're here. They get ministered to by Lee and Amber and Mac and others and Notes and people, those of you sisters who've been able to go by and be with them. They're here. That's a big event. They were down there by themselves. And now, God has brought them back here. What a moment in their life. I had been out of town and would come back in the very day they moved here and drove immediately to that home. And there they were with the moving truck. Jeff was there. Mac was there. Others. I thought, I cannot believe I'm fixing to walk in and there they are. But God did it. How about the Courtneys, the Elsies? You didn't know us 6 months ago. We didn't know you. You never know what's ahead. You never know how God's directing your step. Here you are, two families in the will of God, here with us in God's timing for His glory. That's how He leads His people. He leads His people along. He guides us. And here you are. We love the God bringing families like y'all to us. We want to give and receive. We want to exchange together in the kingdom. The things of God. We want to grow in grace together. You children, you young people, let God minister to you. Take it in. Be under the waterfall, as Piper says. Be with God. Walk with God. Seek the Lord. In the days of your youth, we rejoice that both of your families are here. He knows the way of the righteous. Kevin Choi, I can't believe Kevin's here. I didn't know he was going to be here. And here he is. And in just a matter of hours, he'll be flying over the ocean again, going back to his homeland. Well, he has one homeland. We all have one homeland. The city whose builder and maker is God. We're the Lamb of God. And lights it up. The thought, He lights it up. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. And Kevin is here. And yet the big event in your life, you're going back. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. It just means you have to walk with God. He's with you. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows our ways. He's with us. And for me, a big event, I won't be able to go into it much because I'll just fall apart. But I was able to plan and pull off a surprise 50th birthday for my wife. It'll be hard to ever do anything more awesome than what I was able to do doing that. Behind the scenes, planning and scheming, not letting people know. Booking flights and booking this, and the day of her 50th birthday, we're together taking that boat ride out on the ocean, looking back at the island. Yes, me getting seasick. All of it to the glory of God. And it was rich and profitable, the most precious meal in one sense I'd ever had. I never took a bite of. But God was so good in it. And we were able to celebrate together in the kindness of God. It was a defining moment in a sense because our love, our friendship, our being joint heirs together, we experienced it that day in a greater measure or in a very special way. Major moments. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Rejoice in these things. That's the first category. Those are big things, big moments, special moments. Then there's little things. Little things. You know what? I think just by personality, I'm a little thing kind of a guy. I'm so boringly consistent that it probably wears y'all out. I know for my wife, children, and family, that's just the way I'm wired. Little things. But you know what? The daily activities that we are about have long-term impacts, right? Think about that. The little things. You men, you women, you parents. Just the littlest of things that you're doing. Learn that those are not insignificant. They add up. They add up. They add up. Listen to this. David says, "You know my downsitting and my uprising." God's acquainted with our thoughts from afar off. He knows us. All that we're about has value, has importance. He's with us. How to redeem downtime that you have. How to redeem busy days that you have. But be about things with an eternal purpose, with a bigger mission in it, that God's with you. The little things are never little in the bigger purpose of His will. Brother Rob, Rob's not here today, and I hope those who aren't here will get to maybe go back and listen through this. Rob is such a steady brother. I'll just often say to Chris at the house, "Isn't that Rob a special brother? You talk about setting your watch after somebody. That Rob is steady." And he grows in godliness. Sometimes it's imperceptible. It's like the little rings of a tree, and here he is growing, and he's becoming more and more the man that God's building. And he impacts others. He impacts others all the time. I was with him not long ago down at GFA, and I know that he loves all those people, and he loves what God's put him there for. And he's just constantly about what appear to be small things, but they're big. They're kingdom-oriented. Nick Hansen, just this last year, sowing the gospel in his neighborhood, going to house, going to see others, sowing the seed, throwing the seed, telling people about Jesus Christ, and then the abortion clinic outreach. Adding that to his sowing the seed. It's like he's got a little bag around him. He's casting seed all the time. Small efforts, it appears, but God brings the increase, right? What a faithful thing to be about. Sister Tommy, nurturing four young children in God's ways, in His Word. The day-to-day, loving children. Awesome. Having seen my own wife, you ladies, you sisters know this, to nurture children can be some of the most exhausting, grueling, 24-7, forget 24-hour stores, be a 24-hour mom. I mean, it's just never-ending. And it's kingdom-oriented. It's God's calling. It's His purpose. And Tommy teaching those little boys and those girls, teaching them the Word of God. They raise their hands and they share those Scriptures. Plant it in them. Keep going. Keep doing it. Walk with God in that. Jake, just this last year, the daily activities, the small things, serving the church, Jake and Nick, these brothers, Michael, they come early. They set up. They get things ready for all of us, faithfully, steadily. Don't get any accolades, no rewards, but yet God is in it. And yet it builds you as a man when you do that. The littlest of things, serving and doing those activities. I remember years ago when I first met Mac, and we had the same kind of a church set up in the church then in those days. And we'd sign up in different months, and I would go, and I would be with your brother often, Joe Jr. I would be with him, and we would set up and prepare. And I think even in a sense then I knew, this is important. It is important, being faithful in those. So press on, dear brother. God's with you. Betty Sadowski, having Joel back, having children and grandchildren, having this opportunity to love your son, minister to him, encourage him, pointing, directing, press on in this way. Joel, seek the Lord. Look to Him. Walk with God. Listen to the loving comments of your mother. Listen to your father. Listen to those of us here. When we drop a word in, we want you to press on. We want you to know the things of God in reality, in the inner man. Brother Jeff, a husband, a father, an employee, a deacon. Pretty good resume there. Growing as a man of God. I've seen him go from a single, joyful, happy, loving man that would come over for pizza and Bible studies to being a husband, a father, a pillar employee, I'm sure, and a deacon who serves all of us. Brother, God's building you as a man. There is nothing small about what you're doing. Nothing. Nothing small, men, about being a dad, being a husband, being an employee, serving in the church, in whatever capacity that means. None of that's small. All of it's big because it's the whole of the man. I say that often to you men. That's how God builds the man. He builds you in all of that. The truth becomes permeating in all areas of life. How to be a husband, how to be a father, how to be a brother to the others, and on and on, and how to walk with God. They're not isolated. Here, I do this here, and then I do this here. No, it's all together. And that's what Jeff's walking in and growing in. And it's a testimony of God's kindness, and it's an encouragement to all of us, is it not? It is. Mac goes forth, sometimes little trips, sometimes they're bigger trips. But God calls him forth to go and do itinerant preaching. Lorenz asked me last night, or yesterday when I was over at their home, now tell me about those trips. Or he wanted to know a little bit more of how they come about, what God uses them for. I'll tell you what he uses them for. For Mac to go and speak the Word of God to strengthen the saints near and far. If you wanted to summarize it, God calls him just like different men through the years have come through here. They come and they speak truth. They speak truth in their lives and it builds up God's people. And they're helped. They're helped because truth comes. They're loved. They're ministered to. And so Mac has been doing that for years, but he hasn't had an impact on people all over the country, really. People in different states. He probably knows more Christians than any American because of how much he's traveled and how faithful he is to call and check on people. So it's a small thing in one sense, but it's big. The aggregate of that is big. So those are little things. Little things that what appear to be little, but they're big. They're in your life. They're things that God's doing in you. Third category, He guides you. David knew that God's sovereign hand was leading him on. Leading you on, right? This thing of guiding you. Go back to Psalm 119. For all my ways are before thee. Meaning my steps. What's ahead? What's tomorrow? What's next week? What's in 2014? God is with me. It's His sovereign hand. I told Brother Lorenz about the name Providence Chapel. How it came together. It's about God's providence. Of how He brought this church together. And so He guides you in the day-to-day living. He made my ways are before thee. And it's a precious reality when you reflect back on it. But so often we don't go back. We don't look. We don't reflect. We don't think back. Lee and Amber, thinking that this very truth in your life, you moved from one home to another home. And you minister constantly to others. Giving out, loving, ministering, helping, encouraging. And so it's just all of your ways, all of your activities, all of the fruit of what you're to be about, God's in it. All your ways are before Him. Serving as an elder. Brother Lee was installed as an elder back in the spring. What a moment that was. For him, for Mac and I, for us as a church, all of these things. All my ways are before thee. Everything. He guides me. He leads me. They labor together. You love the saints. You give your life to the saints. You open your home. And it impacts people all the time. It stirs them. It causes them to see truth lived out. That's how truth really should be seen. David Catalan. School. Where is David? Is he back there? There he is. Sorry. You finished school by the kindness of God. Got through the test by the kindness of God. All your ways are before Him. You've completed that. Now work and what's ahead and where are you going to work and who are you going to talk to and who are you going to see, just like the guy recently that you were with, Shelby. God's in it. God knows your ways. They're before Him. He's orchestrating these things, these encounters. So you can have peace and joy of what God has you there for. Ebony. Every time I've gone to their home this calendar year, Ebony says, I just love being at home. I love being with my children. I love being in their lives. I love schooling them. I love teaching them. I love singing with them. I love being here. These are new days for her. He's guiding her. He's building her up in the most holy faith. As David has moved on in his role and Ebony in her role, together you walk with God. He knows your ways. He is leading you on in the paths of righteousness. What a precious reality. Maria, Is Maria back there? There she is. Continuing to walk with her little daughter, walking with God now over a year and a half without Jonathan. Having to be knowing God leading her and granting her grace and strength and encouragement and faith and patience to wait upon the Lord. And He's with her. For all her ways are before God. God is strengthening her. I tell you something that's actually amazing to do is to talk through on these speaker things to her husband when Jonathan's there. Lee and others know about this. And you're talking. You're this far away, but you can't touch each other, right? Maria's done this hundreds of times. And as I'm looking at him, and I'll say to him, Maria's doing well. God's upholding her. God's ministering to her. And then he gets tears in his eyes. Because that's what he wants to hear. And so she must walk with the Lord alone for now. And He'll be with her. He has been with her. How about Lorenz and Risa? They don't know when they're going back to the Philippines. That was their native land that got wiped out or got hammered. Lorenz and Risa, I was with them as I keep referencing yesterday. And the timing of when they go back. Her mother's health is failing. She doesn't know if she'll ever see her mother again. She doesn't know. I said, sister, you cry out to God for her. God's not bound in space. Jesus healed people when they would come to Him and they'd get back and they were healed. God can do anything. You just pray for her. God's with you. And His timing of when they go home, they think they know kind of when it's going to be in 2014. But they know this. God knows their ways. They're before Him. They don't know what tomorrow holds, nor do I. Right? None of us do. But God is with them. Aren't they a precious couple and a family? I had fun yesterday working a little puzzle with Lorraine. We were putting together one of these little face puzzles and we were working on it. We were kind of getting excited the further we got into it. So God is with that family. He has them there. Brother Ron and Karen, pillars, truly pillars in the household of faith. Dear brethren, the amount of spontaneous or providential meetings that Ron and Karen have with people is just wonderful. Seeing people that they share the gospel with, Ron giving them tracts, giving them good news, giving them the gospel, and they do it all the time. Grocery stores, parking lots, wherever. And God uses them. He's ordering their ways. People need truth. They need to be loved. And with a couple like that, has the glow of the glory of God or the love of God upon them, speaking to others, the younger people, it makes people go, what do they have? Where's this hope that they have? And Ron and Karen, with great joy, are able to share that and minister to that to others. Brother Tom, I guess the UNT is going to get shut down, right? No, it didn't. The 11th hour comes. God opens the way. UNT is opened again. You and others have been able to go back. The gospel proclamation still occurs right over here on that campus. In the will of God. God's in it. God knows your ways. God knows your steps. What's ahead? Your desires, your longings, your hope for an outpouring, truly an outpouring of God in America. That is the greatest need of all in this country, that God would come, explode in power and might and save sinners and work. Bring conviction of sin and change lives, change cities, change ideology, change the foolish teaching and garbage that's pumped into the homes of America day after day, that God would come. And it happens at the littlest times on campuses with truth, sharing, preaching, proclaiming the gospel of good news. Tom's been a part of that for a long time. In God's mercy. Nick Wheeler. Sometimes I ask you about your work and I almost wonder, well, is it worse? Is it okay? Your work, brother, where you are is in the will of God. His plans, His ways are going to be completely fulfilled for you. You're there. You're growing. There are things that are happening. You're seeing things. And His timing of what's ahead is no different than what He has for other servants around the world. He'll unveil that or bring that about. in His perfect timing. You walk with Him. We love you. You're here and you've been here, steady, faithful, honest, transparent, hurting, aching. And yet God has led you the whole way. He's with you. Think of that. The God of the universe is with you, loves you. You're His. So what's ahead is in His hands. You can rest in that. Fourth, He upholds me. He upholds me. So there's big events, little events. He guides me and He upholds me. God's tender mercy in hard things you go through. I think if we paused anywhere, we could come to this one and we could all stop and share. The hard things we go through. Boy, did David know this, didn't he? Woo! Psalm 142, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Any candidates there? Anybody been overwhelmed this last year? Overwhelmed. Not just struggling. Overwhelmed. Look that one up. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. You get to the end of that very psalm and God delivers. God brings bountifulness to him. Deliverance in His own perfect way. For Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. The very man that said, when I'm overwhelmed, Thou knewest my path. Now this one gets very deep and emotional for all of us. There are things that you're facing. I mean right now, many of you, that are overwhelming. I have some in my own life. I guarantee you, I could go back in that room and weep alone before God. Because I'm carrying things right now that I'm hurting over. But I know this, that He knows my path. And I may be overwhelmed, but God's with me. I wouldn't be here today but by the grace of God. None of us would. We don't carry ourselves. He carries us. David didn't carry himself. It wasn't David's strength. It wasn't Samson's strength. It wasn't any other man's strength. It's the power of God with us, carrying us, ministering to us. And so we must always remember that and have faith in God, trusting Him. I mean, there's so many things I could list, but Dave and Courtney, they're not here today. They lost a dear friend in St. Louis. I can't remember the brother's name. But they lost a friend, a young man. They were going to go, remember, they were going to go to the mission field. And the husband died. Just suddenly. A woman, a widow, she's left with young children. And it was a blow for Dave and Courtney, wasn't it? It really was a blow to them. They felt it. They felt the pain of it. Feeling overwhelmed. Yet they had to look to the God who rules our days. Linda Tomlinson. The drain of always feeling bad, over and over, day after day, week after week, not feeling well, feeling frail, being overwhelmed, can I make it through today? And yet, God knows her path, God's with her. She has both felt and received, felt hard things and received grace for the need. There are heavy things, beloved, that we all face, right? We're not in prison, but that doesn't mean we're not hurting. We're not in chains, but that doesn't mean we don't have battles or fights. We have those. We have those struggles. But I love what Samuel Rutherford said. I reminded Krista recently. The king saves his greatest wine for those that are in the cellar. Now, isn't that a Samuel Rutherford kind of statement? The king saves his greatest wine for those in the cellar. If I follow him, he's saying in the hardest of moments, God ministers. He comes and does something no man can do. God comes and He sheds abroad the love of God in my heart by the Holy Spirit which is given unto me. Think of that. When you're overwhelmed, God doesn't forsake us. He's there with us. One of the hymns we just sang, He whispers in my ear. Stephen and Kathy, y'all had a tough year. The loss of a brother, your mother's battles, family members, a nephew, a little boy battling cancer. Serious things, medical issues, those that you love, painful things, crying out to God, Lord, come. It's like reading through the New Testament, reading through the Gospels. People came to Jesus Christ, they were desperate.
You must heal. You must do it. You can do it.
You know what? That encourages me to pray like that or run to the Savior. Go to Him. You have carried heavy things, hard things, weighty things. But God knows your path when you're overwhelmed. Quote that to yourself. Then thou knowest my path. You know what I'm going through. My own dear wife, her ongoing health struggles.
As husbands, you want to do so much for your wives. But it's God that carries her.
I knew I couldn't make it through this. You brothers know what I mean. You moms with children, you know what I mean. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. That's the God of the heavens and the earth. He knows my path. He knows my wife's struggles. The burden of Janae's situation. Hard days. But He carries us. He knows our path. The night I got the phone call from my daughter, I was outside. Had no idea the bomb that was coming, the weight of that. But I do know this. God carries us. He's with us.
He condescends. He knows our agonies. He knows our hurts.
And that is such a gracious and loving God and Savior. Chris and Audrey, you had hard things, painful things with family, struggles, conflicts, things that wound you, things that knock the air out of you. You want to have peace with your family. You want to have joy. You want to have love. And painful things come. Sometimes you have to just hurt alone, don't you? Just hurt. But Chris and Audrey are pressing on by the grace of God. They've been overwhelmed. I can sense it. And God knows their path. He's with them. They have joy in the journey. They have joy with Him. Carl and Marianne, what they've been through. Almost a year ago, Brother Carl has to go through heart surgery. And he said, as he said, he didn't know if he'd live through it. But we know this, God owns you. He owns you as a couple. He has you. You're His forever. Whatever days you have, if any of us make it through another day, it's by the kindness of God. And so what you've been through, we look into and we learn from. And we try to understand what God carries you through. And what wine you drink from in the king's cellar. But you know what? In a way, it ministers deeply to us to see you just hang on to truth. Hang on to God. Hang on to the gospel of His grace. Look to Him. Love Him. Serve Him. Speak those truths to us. Speak them to your grandchildren. Speak them to the others. Words of life. Words of hope. God's with us. So, beloved, we all have a calendar of 2013. You have a calendar of events. I encourage you, what I've just triggered today, you husbands and wives, you families, reflect back. Talk about these things. I think I skipped Michael and April, and it's in my notes. The hard things they've been through, her sickness, her difficulties, her physical ailments and weaknesses. Michael, as a husband, you know what I'm saying? You want to help. You want to minister to her. So often, the greatest thing you can do is just pray. Just pray for her. Love her. Just be there for her. Be her friend. So you see these things, talk about them. Reflect on them. Let God minister deeply to you. He's with us. He's not afar off. He's with us. We can be certain of this. He knows our ways. He is in them and with us. Glory to God.